First up today, we're going to look at the issue that led to a very memorable Canberra Times headline this week. Goat slaughter footage could hold key to press freedom. On Tuesday, the High Court heard the case of Farm Transparency International versus the Game Meats Company of Australia. Farm Transparency describes itself as an animal rights media organisation, and in 2024, it secretly installed hidden cameras at a halal goat abattoir in Nirobin. But the abattoir got an injunction preventing Farm Transparency from using the footage it obtained there because it was obtained by trespassing. The federal court held that because of that illegality, the copyright in the footage is actually owned by the abattoir, Game Meats. The Human Rights Legal Centre and the Alliance for Journalists' Freedom intervened in the case to raise what they call public interest concerns relating to whistleblowing and press freedom. Peter Grester, Executive Director of the Alliance for Journalists' Freedom, was in the High Court for the hearing, and I'm very pleased to say that he joins us now. Welcome, Peter.
Thanks very much, Julian.
Peter, who normally owns the copyright in footage of a property that's filmed by a media organisation?
Well, it's not just video that's been filmed by an organisation when they're trespassing on another property. It's the creators of any work of art. Copyright is a very old idea. And it's always been assumed that the moment that you create a work, you own it. You can reassign copyright, but the working assumption is that if you create it, it's yours, regardless of the circumstances.
Yeah, so the existing outcome of this case seems a bit counterintuitive. How is it that the courts managed to get to a position where it's the abattoir that owns the footage recorded by Farm Transparency?
It's an interesting one. It's the first time that it's ever happened in this way. What the abattoir owners did was that they relied on what's called a constructive trust. They basically said that because Farm Transparency had violated the abattoir's rights by trespassing, they couldn't benefit from whatever it was that they produced while they were trespassing. And the courts agreed and then ordered Farm Transparency to assign copyright to the abattoir. Now, this is a really troubling development for us because it has all sorts of implications, as the Canberra Times headline has suggested, for press freedom and for whistleblowing.
Yeah, I wonder if you could elaborate on those implications a little bit more, because I'm maybe taking a liberty here, but I'm guessing that Farm Transparency International isn't a part of the Alliance for Journalists' Freedom. Why did you get involved in this case?
No, we asked the High Court for leave to make submissions in this case. We're not allies of Farm Transparency, nor are we enemies of Game Meats. What we're really doing is trying to bring the court's attention to some of the potential implications of this case. We're saying that this is a really unusual use of copyright law, of interpretation of copyright law. We're saying that there are plenty of other alternative ways of stopping material from being made public. Injunctions are the usual way that most people go through, most organizations go through if they want to try and stop publication. And that if the court does go down this route, then it has the potential to smother legitimate public interest journalism and stop the sources that they often rely on, that's whistleblowers, from gathering the material that is sometimes needed to expose bad behavior.
On Sunday Extra, we're speaking with Peter Grester, Executive Director of the Alliance for Journalists' Freedom, which intervened in the High Court case heard this week between Farm Transparency International and the Game Meats Company. Peter, you were in the court. To quote the castle, how was the vibe in the High Court? How did you feel your arguments about press freedom were received by the bench?
It's a really difficult one. I'm not going to try and guess. I wouldn't put money either way on which way the High Court might go on this. Even our counsel found it difficult to make a judgment. What that did seem fairly clear was that we were able to place the idea of the public interest at the center of the legal discussion. The bench asked questions about it. Both of the parties addressed it in their submissions. And so we made it a part of the proceedings. And I think one of the reasons that we're in this position now, one of the reasons that the federal court ruled in the way that it did in favor of Game Meats, assigning copyright to Game Meats, was because there really wasn't anybody in the court arguing for the public interest. Julian, one of the keys here is that the parliament and the courts have in the past recognized the really important role that journalism plays in exposing misdeeds. A couple of years ago, Parliament passed the privacy tort, in which they said that journalists needed a defence when they're breaching privacy in certain circumstances to argue that there is a public interest in doing so. In other words, sometimes you need to breach someone's privacy, sometimes you need to go beyond the bounds to gather material to show, to expose either corruption or illegal behaviour or abusive behaviour, dangerous behaviour, whatever it is. And in the privacy law, by writing in a public interest defence, Parliament recognised that journalists need to be able to have that opportunity. You're not always privileged journalism, you're not always allowing journalists to publish whatever it is that they want, but you're creating an opportunity to have that debate about whether or not there is the work that journalists do is justified in the public interest. By going this route, the full court, by assigning copyright to game meat, the full court effectively bypassed that opportunity.
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds like there's now this statutory framework through the tort of privacy where the role of journalism is a factor that needs to be considered and a potentially a way out of conduct that would otherwise be a breach of privacy. But none of that applies to the facts in this case. And it seems like a way that could change the intention that Parliament had of making those factors balanced by courts.
Yeah, and this is why we're worried. Now, I don't want to overstate it. I'm not saying that public interest journalism, investigative journalism that relies on covertly filmed material is necessarily dead and buried. But the problem is that in Australia, there are already a host of laws that have a very chilling effect on public interest journalism that expose whistleblowers. And this adds another very, very serious weapon to the arsenal of those people that want to try and keep this stuff hidden.
One thing I was wondering, Peter, did the High Court look at the footage?
The High Court didn't, and that was something that the Federal Court addressed. One of the things that we want to be very clear about is that we're not weighing into the argument about the rights or wrongs of either party in this. We're not making a judgment about the actions of Farm Transparency, nor are we making a judgment on what the video shows about what Game Meats was doing with the goats. And the court really, the High Court, didn't go there either. What the High Court was dealing with was some of these more narrow questions about the way in which the copyright had been assigned.
Because obviously you've alluded to the public interest in a certain type of investigative journalism, but I'm sure those who are animal rights activists would say, well, there's a public interest in exposing the cruel treatment to animals. No doubt also abattoirs and exporters would say there's a public interest in the trade of certain meats. Public interest is a very broad and debatable category. Do you get the sense that the High Court is actually going to engage with the complexities there in this case?
Yeah, there are whole PhD theses, there are whole libraries of academic works unpacking what the public interest actually means, particularly in legal terms and moral terms. The public interest, I think, is we can really focus it down onto behaviour that's illegal, unethical, corrupt, or dangerous. The Department of Agriculture saw the video and in this case decided that there was no further action that was needed. Game Meats apparently took some actions to address some of the issues that the video raised, and so that's really no longer a part of this debate. But as I said, if the video did show illegal behaviour, and if there were no steps to address it, then you could make a case for the public interest in disclosing that video.
Issues to do with covert footage filmed for animal rights purposes and then broadcast by the media have been litigated before, often, I think, involving the ABC itself.
Mm.
Do you think it's potentially a disadvantage in terms of press freedom that this is a case that didn't involve a media organisation? It was between Farm Transparency International rather than, say, a broadcaster or the national broadcaster indeed.
It's a really good question. And I think one of the challenges of this, of the federal court ruling, is that it opens up a whole raft of questions like that we really don't have clear answers to. Handling copyright material has been sorted out in all sorts of respects for decades now, for centuries. So has the way in which news organizations deal with covertly filmed material. There's quite a lot of precedent about the way that these things are done. So this particular case, by being creative with the law, has opened up a lot of questions, a lot of challenges that we just don't have answers to right now. And I think that's one of the central problems in this case.
Yeah, one of the things I was wondering is whether, in a way, media organisations have outsourced some of the really hard investigative work to advocacy organisations, because a lot of the time when you see animal rights footage exposed, it isn't the media organisation that's done the covert footage, it's the activists. Do you think that there is a problem with media organisations being, for want of a better expression, gun shy of using that technique?
News organisations always need to be very careful about breaching the law, and trespassing is a breach of the law. In this case, Farm Transparency was found guilty of trespassing illegally. Was fined because of it, fined fairly heavily.
And that's significant in a way, isn't it? Because it's not like they got away with the whole thing. They've had to pay for the trespass, presumably legal costs associated with that. But this extra element means that the footage cannot be used anywhere by the activists. And that's where the free expression issues arise.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why we're concerned about the broader implications. As you pointed out, Farm Transparency was found guilty of trespassing. They copped a pretty severe fine. And the federal court also slapped an injunction on them that stopped them from publishing the video. All of those things are traditional methods that the courts can use to sanction someone that's broken the law. And so we can't really say that Farm Transparency has gotten away with it. The issue that we are concerned, that we keep coming back to, is this way in which copyright has smothered freedom of expression, smothered what we think of in Australia as the implied freedom of political communication. And it's those implications that we're really worried about.
Peter Grester, thanks very much for joining us on Sunday Extra.
It's been great to chat, Julian.
Peter Grester is the Executive Director of the Alliance for Journalists' Freedom, which, together with the Human Rights Legal Centre, addressed the High Court this week in the case of Farm Transparency International and Game Meats Company. And of course, we will await the High Court's decision with great public broadcaster interest.